The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
7:48. Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, Purim Sameach to all of you. It's very Purimy indeed, although a slightly different Purim this year, I have to say. A little bit of a different feel about Purim. A lot of the big parties, which are traditional over Purim, are not taking place because of the coronavirus restrictions that have been put in place across the country. You know, it's traditional to have these huge rave parties for certain age population that like to do this kind of thing. Traditional for kids to be going out and being out on the streets. And of course, traditional for Purim parades to take place, the so-called Ad Lo Yada, which most towns and cities with any respect will have. And of course, the main one that usually takes place in Holon, it's like the flagship event of all Purim parades. None of the...
Well, have all functions been cancelled or just the parades?
Well, not all functions have been cancelled. There are functions that are still going ahead. But it's all being done on a very much lower scale, lower key, because of the fact that people who've been abroad over the last 2 weeks are not supposed to attend any events that have more than 100 people. And so in order to try and include as many people as possible, there's so many school children, so many young people who have been outside of Israel over the last couple of weeks, that there is a concern that some people might be excluded, or that perhaps worse than that, some people who should not be attending are somehow somehow make the decision that they will attend just in order to be with their friends, in order to participate in the festivities and things like that. So a lot of the schools, for example, didn't hold their usual Purim functions that they would normally hold for the whole school. They did it in very much smaller groups. Even Megillah readings, a lot of smaller scale Megillah readings have been held in order to allow everybody to attend. So definitely a different atmosphere and a different feel about Purim this year. And even when you go out, to be honest, when you walk into supermarkets, shopping malls, places like that, even though we've got you know, this so-called run on some products, which we certainly have seen some evidence of in Israel, but generally speaking, public places have been very much lower key, very much less populated than we would expect. A lot of people are staying home in order to try to somehow cope with this coronavirus situation. And of course, now that the government has decided to take a more draconian step, as was announced yesterday, by imposing quarantine restrictions on all people, everybody who enters Israel from abroad, including Israelis. And of course, when the Prime Minister alluded to the fact that they might do this, he said, "We're not closing Israel's borders. Israel's borders are open and people are welcome to come, except for the fact that if you do come, you're going to have to spend 2 weeks in quarantine." So effectively, he's closed the borders. Effectively, people are not coming. When you see what's happening with the airline industry, when you see what's happening at the airport's practically closed down. The El Al has cancelled so many of its flights. 1,000 El Al workers have been laid off as a result of this slowdown in operation. Lufthansa, which was flying something around 20 flights a week to Israel, has now completely stopped all flights, as indeed have other Israeli airlines. Israel announced that all international flights have been put on hold until further notice, until such time as the borders are effectively reopened again. And so at the moment, quite severe action has been taken place, has been decided upon by the government in order to somehow control what's happening with the spread of the coronavirus. The borders are, for all intents and purposes, not working at the moment. People, of course, deciding not to leave Israel for fear of having to go back into quarantine for 2 weeks when they return. And visitors certainly not wanting to take the risk of having to spend 2 weeks in quarantine when they come here for their holiday or come here for visits or whatever it is. So people are effectively just not arriving. You know, this has some substantial economic impact and, of course, social impact on what's happening. It's a month before Pesach now that we're at Purim. You know, obviously we're all looking towards the Pesach holidays. and what's likely to happen then. But I can't see this situation reversing in any significant way until well after Pesach. It seems as if this is what we have to now expect to, well, that will continue until at least Pesach time. So in the background to all of that, another 16 victims have been identified as having caught corona. Israel's corona count now climbs to 50 people, most of whom still are people who caught it while traveling abroad. There are a few cases of people who have caught it while in Israel, including the case of one health worker who's from Mada and who dealt with a coronavirus victim and who seems to have contracted the virus from dealing with that individual. There is also a case of the spouse of a doctor at one of Israel's leading hospitals who has caught the virus, even though his wife, the doctor, herself has not been diagnosed with the virus, but she's been put into isolation and she's been tested for fear that she might well have spread it around the hospital where she works, one of the big hospitals in Israel, and a few other people who've caught it from others that have come into contact. But by and large, the vast majority of cases have been people who traveled abroad. And I suppose now that nobody's really traveling abroad, there is the hope that the number of diagnosed cases will begin to decrease. Fortunately, we're seeing people actually recovering rather than any more severe situations arising as a result of the virus. There's one person who returned from Tenerife who has been who's been described as being in moderate condition rather than light condition. But most of the people who have been diagnosed with the virus are considered to be not particularly ill. They're in light condition. One individual, as I spoke about yesterday, that bus driver, was in quite serious condition, and we haven't had an update about his condition, even though there were some rumors, as I said before, that he might have already died, but that has not been confirmed. And so our working assumption at the moment is that he's still in serious condition. But most people are in light condition and are trying to, the authorities are just trying to take action in order to prevent them from spreading the virus to other people. Lots and lots of action across Israel. Within the transport community, for example, new rules have come out for buses where passengers on buses are not allowed to sit near to the driver. The few seats that are nearest to the driver have been taped off. Nobody's allowed to sit there. Nobody's allowed to really approach the drivers in order to try to protect the health of the drivers. So quite a number of actions have been taking place right across the economy in order to prevent the further spread of this virus.
Yeah, very, very frightening. But I suspect that many countries around the world will be learning, taking some lessons out of Israel's handling of the situation. It seemed very, very rough in the beginning, but I believe at the end of the day, the only thing that we've seen works in this space is quarantine, is keeping people apart. It's unfortunate, but it really does work.
Well, it seems so. I mean, there's been a lot of criticism, as you would expect, in a Jewish country, people taking differing views about these extreme actions that the government is taking. Some people feel that it's just an overreaction, that it's too draconian, that it's not called for. Of course, the economy is suffering significantly, not only from the huge falls on the stock exchanges, but of course from the fact that a lot of people are not working, from the airline industry not operating, from the tour groups not coming. So the economy is definitely taking a beating as a result of this. And some people have felt that it's been irresponsible on the government's part to close the borders, to take such extreme action. There has even been talk about extending the few days of Purim holiday. Now schools are on holiday for 3 days. Of course, we know that Purim in Jerusalem is not until tonight and tomorrow, being Shushan Purim, as it's called. So Purim being celebrated in all of Israel today, except within Jerusalem. And so in Jerusalem, Purim will be tomorrow. And as a result of that, the Purim school holiday will continue from yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Children will return to school on Thursday. There has been some talk about extending the holiday in order to try and keep people away from the schools. But I agree with you. I think that at this stage of the game, conservative reaction is better than allowing too much to continue at the risk of spreading the virus, you know, in a significant way. But as always, there will be the people who feel that this is just all too much and too much of an overreaction.
Yeah. Before I let you go, can we just talk about, and we're limiting this because Zanati and I just can't anymore with Israeli politics. It is absolutely exhausting, and I can only imagine what you must feel like. But now what is going on?
Well, of course, the president is due to receive the formal results of the election during the course of today, during which time he will then begin his consultations with the leaders of the various parties, and he will ask somebody to form a government. That's the formal process. Behind the scenes, Benny Gantz has been doing his best to try to form a government anyway, a minority government. But there is a huge amount of controversy around his actions. And the reason for that is that if you look at the number of seats that Prime Minister Netanyahu and his coalition partners have managed to gather, then you can count them up to 58, which is just short of the majority of 61 that's required, which means that 62 seats are on the other side of the fence. Now, those 62 seats include 15 seats that were won by the joint Arab list, which is a combination of four different Arab parties that have come together under a joint list, 15 seats, the most that any Arab party has won in an Israeli election, a very, very significant victory for those Arab parties, not only because of the number of seats, but because of the number of Arab voters that actually came out to vote. Benny Gantz originally said that he will not include the Arab party as part of a coalition that he might put together, and yet behind the scenes he has been talking to them about the possibility that they might support him as prime minister and a coalition under his leadership from outside of the government. They might vote for him even though they don't form part of the coalition, and this has caused a lot of controversy across Israel and within his party, people who don't agree with this. It seems as if though the Arab 12.5% is now the king in terms of putting a government together. They are the deciding factor within the Knesset, which is a very, very interesting situation for us to be in.
Indeed. Time is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a Purim Sameach, and let's hope that it is able to be a joyous time in Israel and indeed around the world. It's just gone 8 o'clock. I'm Hart Feldman.